Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and we're back for another installment of the Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome to you, one and all, to my regular listeners, to anybody just joining us for the first time. Glad you're here. And let's get rolling. I got some stuff, man, this week. And but, you know, a few little notey notes that I like to start the podcast out with, sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. That's stanfordinn.com. It's an eco luxury resort that has a whole bunch of cool stuff. But my favorite part about it is the huge, awesome wellness center that I program direct, whatever that verb means. I'm the programs director of that. You can find that at livingwellmendocino.com. We have some retreats coming up. A really cool one in the works right now that's going to be like the gargantuan, all-encompassing retreat. So, yeah, just stay tuned, and you'll hear about that. I'll announce it here, but go to livingwellmendocino.com to see what we're offering, all that kind of cool stuff. Anyway, they're gracious enough to keep me rolling on this thing, or at least to get me started, huh? Yeah. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Sid Garza-Hillman, and my website, sidgarzahillman.com. Throw in your email and get a free chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. People have been doing that. I've been seeing it. I hope you're enjoying it. If you like what I do here, this is free podcast, but there's ways that you can support me. I am doing this for a living. And my sponsorship is really mostly just to kind of keep me going here, and but I'm not getting a paycheck, if you know what I'm saying. So throw me an iTunes review. That's very helpful because it spreads the word. And I also have t-shirts for sale, which is another way to throw some pennies in the jar for me. And thank you for the people who have bought those t-shirts so far. I even got a photo of a client of mine finishing her first 5K. How cool is that? You know what I'm saying? Pretty awesome. The next thing is that my Spreecast, which I do the first Saturday of every month, that's free, spreecast.com. It's a live interactive video. You get to ask me questions and I answer them. And that's on August 2nd, Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific in the United States. Anywhere in the world, you go to spreecast.com, search on Sid Garza-Hillman, and you'll find me. Or go to sidgarzahillman.com and events and appearances, and you can get the details there too. All right, there we are. A little tea this evening. What do you think? I got kind of a little smorgasbord of drinkies here, and notes and drinkies. I don't know what I'm all cutesy today. I don't know where that came from. I'm drinking some Gynostemma tea. I talked about it, I think, a long time ago in this podcast. You should check it. I don't sell it. I don't do products. I don't hold that against anybody who sells nutritional things, but that's just kind of my deal. T-shirts are my bag. That's what I do. That's all I sell. Maybe eventually bags will be my bag. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there. Anyway, but Gynostemma tea, fantastic. Go do a search on Amazon if you feel like it, but Dragon Herbs is the brand that I buy, Gynostemma tea. I absolutely love it, and I have recommended it to many a client. Just so you know, one bag brews an entire pot, which is kind of cool. Anyway, I'm not plugging, you know, not technically. I mean, I'm plugging, but I'm not connected to them financially in any way, shape, or form. I just happen to dig their tea. I think they do a good job with it. And I really like it at night. Okay, so what else? My journal, my ongoing journal, my journal of my journaling, my journal of my journaling. All good. Things have been really good. Haven't missed a day. Again, try not to be about that so much as just keeping it rolling. I do find that I have the journal in my back pocket. That's the hugest help. But I also, this is going to get kind of in like the bigger picture of what I'm going for with this episode, I guess. And you might think I'm just insane if you don't already. And I know my regular listeners already do. So if you're just joining me, you know, jump on the bandwagon of this insanity. It's okay. I don't mind. As long as we're having a conversation about it. Anyway, I also put one by my bed. And so because what's happened, I noticed, is that if I, for some reason, don't get to it, then I'm like going to bed and I change into the sleeping outfit. I like to say outfit. I wear outfits. And so when I do that, the journal in my back pocket of my Levi's 501 button fly, because that's just what everybody should do, goes on my little, you know, floor, as they call it. And I could lose, even in that moment, lose track. And I climb into bed and, you know, I've got stuff going on, right? And so there's that journal by my bed. And I'm like, ah. So a couple nights this week, the day got away from me. Okay. Now this is my experience with my own life and about 100% of my clients. We, you know, and probably you guys too. By the way, if anybody's out there interested in working with me on a private basis, go to SidGarzaHillman.com. You can see the services I offer. You won't get me for less than a month. That's just what it is. You know why? Because that works, and anything less than that doesn't. Just telling you. Here's the experience. You get up in the morning, and the morning's like your time. Like, you're awake, and you're kind of like, okay, here's my day. Here's what I'm going to do. You've got your plan. You're feeling really good. And then the afternoon rolls around and you start getting a little fatigued, a little tired. You've been expending a lot of mental energy, most people, during the day, and they've got a lot of stuff going on. And then the walls start coming down, a little crumbling here. And all of a sudden you're fatigued and you're eating stuff that you didn't plan on eating, or you know, I wanted to journal, but I'm exhausted and I'm distracted. And I'm going to eat this for dinner. That's my plan. By the time dinner rolls around, you hear the messages in your brain. I do. And the messages are, you know, oh, you're doing fine most of the time. You're fine. You can totally do this. Even though I had already chosen for myself that I didn't want to. I talked about in the last episode, use the times where you're aware to take advantage of when you're not as aware. Because those little messages sound like a choice. You can convince yourself that you are choosing this food, that when you were of sort of sound mind and body, you know, like you said, I just want this for dinner because of the big picture of me. But then by the time your defenses are down in the afternoon, you're just like susceptible and you're grabbing stuff that you don't want to eat because you don't want to eat it. Not because I told you to or not to. And it's, your defenses come down. And so that's the time that, you know, you're most susceptible potentially. I've just found that to be a lot. It's like the afternoon, evening time where it's like, oh man, I had high hopes for the day. Now listen, the big picture of this podcast and my approach is one of small steps. So I don't even want you to sweat that stuff. It's just you keep going. You keep doing. You do it again. Maybe your small step is you're not there for the evening yet. Maybe your small step is that your first meal of the day is where you're kind of easing your way into this process, and I'll get a little bit more into that as we go. But I just wanted to kind of throw that out there with my journaling, that I want everything to be on the table for everybody. And that means that if something's not working, I want to train you guys to say, okay, this isn't working. It was for a while. Now it's not anymore. So I'm going to recalibrate again. It's endless. What you have to understand, and I really want this to be clear for everybody listening to, so I was thinking about this just today, actually. But living in the modern world, our species is at its core out of balance with the natural world, period. If you live in the modern world, you're out of balance with nature. I mean, just period. Just you cannot. It's, you're out of balance. There's no other, if you're in the modern world, you're not living in nature, okay? What that means is that you can be somebody who meditates, you know, 16 hours out of every 14 hours, and you can be somebody who eats heavy box food 99.9% of the time or 100% of the time. If you're living in the modern world, you are out of balance. The only question is, how out of balance are you? That's the only question, because you can definitely regain some of that balance. But you have to sometimes go pretty hard to maintain that balance. Is it a bummer on one hand? Yeah, but it's no, This is what I've talked about before. There's no getting around it. And the sooner we all let that go and say, but I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it didn't take effort. I wish it was super easy for me to maintain health and happiness. If you put yourself in that energy, you're going to, guess what? Go to diets and fitness plans, because in a way they make it seem like it's easier. Well, if you just do that for 21 days, then right on. You cannot go into the world that we live in, that we created, with your blinders up and with your ears closed, and think that you can be healthy and happy. You have got to pay attention. If you don't, this natural animal that you are going into a very unnatural world, the world is bigger than any of us individually. And there are influences, I'll just say, that are extremely powerful, subtle. You can't even really notice the messages that are bombarding your face every day, every moment of every day, every time you pick up your cell phone, every time you look out your car window, every time, of course, you watch television. You are being bombarded by these messages, and most of these messages are not ones of, hey, you know what you should do is take small steps, just add some things in over time. It doesn't cost you anything. Just wanted to kind of put that out there for you. Just a nice message from your, you know, from Monsanto to you. Take it easy on yourself. Be nice to treat yourself well. I mean, that's not what we're hearing, right? Okay. So you got to pay attention. And sometimes that means putting everything on the table. So if you think I'm neurotic and crazy and insane for putting a journal by my bed and also one in my pocket, I say back to you, sir, sometimes that's what it takes to negotiate health and happiness in the context of the modern world. Okay, now the reason I said sir is because I know what guy said that. I can see you. Cords, really, with that shirt? Not a good idea. Personally, 501s with a button fly. It's just me. Now, I know you got dressed for cotillion, but cords, come on. Okay, I jumped ahead there. Now, you don't know that because you can't see my notes, but I jumped ahead. So now I'm all kerfluffled. I have no idea what I'm doing. Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay. The journaling thing has been working great, but I ain't resting on my laurels. I may have to put this thing in my pocket for the next 6 months or more. I don't care. What I care about is the value that journaling adds to my life. I am not journaling because somebody told me to. I'm not journaling for 7 days to greater enlightenment. I'm journaling because I used to journal. It added a lot of value to my life. And it does again, and I am getting value from it. If that changes, I won't journal. You know why? I'm in charge. Uh-oh, getting to the theme of this podcast. I'm way ahead of myself. Okay, so don't rush me. Okay, I know you guys have this tendency to kind of rush me. It's not cool. It's just not cool. Speaking to that sort of value of the act, right? I want to reiterate, especially for anybody just joining me here. This is a philosophy of health podcast, okay? Now, I'm a certified nutritionist. Do I touch on nutrition? Yes, I do. But I also touch on, I'm a health coach. I mean, that's my job. My job is a health coach and writer and podcaster. You're watching me, speaker. That's what I'm doing here, okay? But at the core, it is a philosophy, because if I sit here and say to get six-pack abs, you exercise this way for the next 7 days, is a waste of yours and my time, because it will not yield you health and happiness long term. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. One of the reasons why this is a philosophy podcast, though, is because it gets to the values, to the ideas behind these actions, even to the idea behind why many of us go to diets. I mean, I touch on that almost every single week. What we want from diets is what we're designed to want, which is health and happiness. It's just not going to get delivered to us by diets. That's all. So I'm dedicated here every week to try to buck the trend of that and to try to get you behind the veil and ask yourself why you go to diets and quick fixes. Why? Why is that? That's what I want you to ask yourself. But another thing I want to talk about is kind of an ethical consideration. Now, I think I touched upon this a long time ago. We're into episode 43 now. If you expect me to remember what I even talked about yesterday, I can't even tell you. But this is a philosophy podcast because part of it is that for me, And you might think I'm crazy. Again, this too. This is apparently what's going on here. But just humor me, okay? I believe because it's our natural design to be healthy and happy that we have an ethical imperative to take care of ourselves, that it's actually an ethical decision. Now, I will argue with anybody that the better you take care of yourself, the better you can treat other people. I will argue that. In fact, I see many people who don't treat people well. I see that as part of a picture of somebody who does not treat themselves well. Now, I have talked about adding in small steps, and that no matter how small that step is, it is way bigger than the step itself, because it is an act of self-care, an act of self-respect for you to take on anything, no matter how small, is you sending a message to yourself that you are worth taking care of. Now, I started to kind of think about that in a broader respect. You know, like I'm sure everybody's heard of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay. Now, the fact that most major religions that espouse that don't follow that, don't get me started. But in the health and happiness realm, I was thinking this last week about applying that do unto others as you would have them do unto you, actually applying that to yourself. Do unto yourself as you would want people to treat you. Treat your body, treat your mind the way that you would have people treat you. It's like it is all about you. It's turning in, which I always say, turn in. So instead of saying, well, I'm going to try to treat my neighbor the way that I wish that he or she would treat me. How about you treat yourself the way that you wish they would treat you? How does that sit with you? That's you want to know your task for the week is your homework that nobody has to do at all. I'll never know, except for the guy wearing the cords. I'm watching you, brother. What is it like? Think about that idea, that concept. Treating yourself the way that you would have others treat you. That's Sid's golden rule. Okay? That's my golden rule. There you go. You get it for free. Treat yourself the way you wish others would treat you. If you abuse yourself and you don't treat yourself with respect and you don't care about your own well-being, how can you expect people to care about your well-being if you can't even care about it yourself? And you cannot, most of us, turn that around in a day and tomorrow treat ourselves perfectly. Ain't gonna happen. And we can't fool ourselves in doing that by doing a cleanse for 7 days. But what we can do is we can start thinking about ourselves and our lives and say, who do I really want to be? Or, like I say, who are you really? What are your values really? I don't care how overweight you are. If you want to be thin, it's because you value being thin. If you want to be fit, it's because you value fitness. If you want to have more energy, then it's because you value vibrancy. If you have horrible skin and you want cleaner, smoother skin, healthier skin, it's because you value that. Why would you want it otherwise? If you want something you don't have, it's because you value that thing for yourself. Small steps is saying, okay, well, those are the things that I value. Those are the things that are obviously me because I value them. They define me as a person. My weight today doesn't define me. My values define me. If my weight is out of balance, it's because I'm living out of balance currently, but that doesn't change what you value. Then you say, okay, well, I'm going to start taking small steps to regain my true identity, who I truly am. I'm going to start living more each day in line with my values, however little it takes for you to stick with it. That's it. The journaling for me, one sentence a day. Boom. Because I value journaling, but really, I don't value journaling. What I value is thinking and taking time for myself and getting grounded in the act of journaling. That's what I value. This is why this is a philosophy podcast, because we are talking about ideas at the end of the day. This is why I don't do labels. This is why I don't stick with diet. I don't do diets. Okay? All right? Okay. Whew, you got me all riled up. This is about values. I mean, this is about values. This is about thinking and then, you know, look, do I think there are I'll go, jump right to the end here. Plants are the heaviest box foods on the earth. Whole plants are the heaviest box foods. Okay? This is why I don't talk about vegan, because some of the lightest box foods in the world are vegan. Okay? It's why I don't talk about vegetarians, why I really don't talk about paleo, except to tell you how ridiculous it is, and that if it was actually paleo, it would look a lot different than what is out in the modern world paleo. But it's because I don't want people to get hung up on labels, because that's not what this is about. I don't give a crap about the name of any diet. What I want you to do is start thinking about your life so that you can determine, just like I have and am doing in my own life, the things that are of value to you, the actions that you are taking in your life that are in conflict with your values or not. To begin to identify those things allows you to look at them honestly and without judgment, to say, okay, well, this is what's happening. I'm in conflict here, and I'm in conflict here, and this is something I'm doing that's more in line with me. Okay, cool. But of the things that are in conflict, to try to slowly remove that conflict. And you can only do that by easing your way in a way that's comfortable. If you jump ahead, you won't stick to it. You know how I know? Because 95% of diets fail, and every quick fix there is fails. Every pill you're promised for weight loss is misdirecting what you truly want, which is health, into weight loss, and it ain't even going to get you that anyway, long term. Not going to happen. Okay? All right? So you can meditate all the time. You can eat, you know, extremely well. You are out of balance in the modern world, and the only way to regain some of this balance is to get to the ideas of how you can negotiate an extremely unnatural world in a more natural way by degrees. You cannot go all the way. You can't go all the way. Natural. You can't do it. I don't care how natural you look. If you're living in the modern world, you're in it, baby. And it, no matter what you look like on the outside, you could still break down. But I still maintain that the more natural you live by degrees, the healthier and happier you feel today. Right now in the modern world, and you can still live a pretty darn good life. And still, and actually, you know, in all the crazy stuff, there's some, like I've said, I'm not anti-technology. Of course, I'm not anti-entertainment. I mean, the 1980s, as a decade, produced the finest films we'll ever see. And I don't want to miss out on that cool stuff. That's fun stuff. But if you can be aware enough to negotiate the wonderful things that exist in this modern world, that means you're not going to be as influenced negatively by some of the just horrible stuff, okay? Like Twinkies. They taste good. Mmm. Twinkies. I haven't had a Twinkie in a long time. Okay. Years. Anyway. Okay, another thing I was thinking about is to be thankful, and I don't mean this in a New Agey way. I'm not anti-New Agey, but, you know, at the same time, man, to think about the Morse code, what I call the Morse code of the body. And it was what I was thinking about. I mean, I know that people go, you have to listen to your body. And I think that sometimes that gets mistaken for the cravings that we feel, or even the feelings that we feel. So in other words, you know, I was talking about this last week, I think, but it was like, you know, I must need milk. I must need calcium. That's what it is. I must need calcium because I'm craving milk, even though, of course, I was raised on milk and there's casomorphins that get me high from the opiates and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm listening to my body, and my body's craving milk, and therefore it must need calcium. Don't mistake that with what is truly listening to your body. And I believe that our bodies, I call it the Morse code of the body. The body communicates to us in a language that we don't pay attention to, really. And part of the reason why I advocate and coach the way that I do is because it helps you pay better attention. The language of the body is this. When things are not happening, the body goes, I'm going to hold on to extra fat. I'm going to raise my blood sugar. I'm going to have digestive issues. I'm going to have allergies. I'm going to have sickness. I'm going to have raised cholesterol. I'm going to have fatigue. I'm going to have tightness around the stomach when I'm stressed. I'm going to have headaches. This is the body's, I want, you know, we jump to the pill, not the pill, not like the pill. Don't go to the pill when you have headaches. Just, trust me, I've tried. And now I have twins. My point is that we go to those pills, we want to squash those messages. And what the body is doing is communicating with us. And we should be thankful that it does. Because I will say that certain things like cholesterol and blood pressure are in many ways more internal. We don't, unless we get tested, we don't know. I mean, unless we go to a doctor, and I've got health insurance, and it's going to cost me hundreds even with health insurance. You know, some of us don't go to a doctor to get tested, right? So things like high cholesterol and high blood pressure, they may go undetected because you just didn't go to the doctor to get that tested. Thank your body for holding on to extra fat if that's what's happening with you. Thank your body for getting stomach aches and having digestive issues. Thank your body for having allergies. Thank your body for having fatigue, okay, and headaches and a tightness in the stomach. This is a very outward communication that you are getting from your body. It is your job or not to listen. That's what you should be listening to, not whether your body craves chicken because you think it needs protein, okay? That ain't what's happening. You crave the taste because it gets you high. I'm in the same boat you are. Let's just put that on the table and move on and look at ourselves and look at this body that is trying its best. It is still designed for the wild. It's been foisted in this modern world. It doesn't have an easy time with it. It gets all this, it exhibits all the stress responses from a report that you have due that it does when it's being attacked by a lion. Maybe not quite to the extreme, but the high cholesterol, high blood pressure, belly fat, all those kinds of things are body's stress response. It is responding in the same way in the modern world that it would in the wild, and it's a different kind of stress, but the body doesn't know the difference. The more we can listen to it and say, you know, I meditate all day, but I still got this weight on my stomach that's not going away. Well, that's your body's way of saying, I am under stress because of how you are living in the modern world. That is what the body is saying. That is what the body is saying. And you can either listen or not. I'm not going to judge you for it. I just want you to understand it. Okay? I just want you to understand it. All right? Okay. Moving on. When I was 25, an interesting thing happened to me. Now, I was one of these kids who had really bad allergies growing up. I had allergy tests. I had the injections for a while. Had asthma, chronic asthma. I've talked about this before. But I cured myself of asthma when I was 22 years old by giving up dairy, if you must know. And you must. When I was 25, around 25, 26, an interesting thing happened, though, because even when I had allergies and even when I had asthma, and I had some digestive issues for sure. I don't want to go into details, but upset stomach, you know, that kind of stuff. But I was one of those kids who could eat whatever he wanted. Okay. I was eating a ton of food. I was growing like a banshee. I was 5 feet even when I started my freshman year of high school. I was 5'11" when I graduated, and I continued to grow a couple inches in college. And I'm 6'1 to this day. But I was one of those guys who could just eat whatever I want. I was rail thin. I remember in college trying to put on weight. I was like too skinny. I was in the weight room trying to put on weight. That was my thing. Did not squash my eating habits at all. Okay. Captain Crunch and Crunch Berries, while being amazing tasting, best cereal, hands down. I defy anybody to find a better cereal than Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries. Doesn't happen. Plus, there's berries on it. Around 25, 26, an interesting thing happened, and that is that my metabolism slowed to a halt. And all of a sudden, the things that I was eating every day were starting to take their toll on my body. Now, I would argue that they were already taking their toll on my body because I wasn't eating heavy box foods that often. Okay, I would eat some, but my light box to heavy box proportion was definitely in the light box court. Now, I was thin, and I was a runner even, and most people would describe me as being very healthy because I was thin and I was a runner, but I was not healthy. I had asthma. My body was telling me things. It just wasn't telling me in the weight arena, but it was telling me in other ways, allergies, stomach upset, okay? When my metabolism slowed down, all of a sudden I had these habits and behaviors in place, which was I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. It was a rude awakening. Even by the time I was 25, I had already given up dairy and my asthma went away, but I was still eating pretty much whatever, you know? And all of a sudden, I started putting on weight because I am genetically disposed to weight gain. It's very, very simple for me to put on weight. Now, I had a guy just recently go, yeah, I'm not lucky like you are with a fast metabolism. I said, brother, my metabolism is slow. And here's a little secret that everybody knows now. A slow metabolism is actually advantageous for us. If you think about the body as a burning machine, which essentially it is in energy creation, we burn. A fast metabolism, while it may yield you weight loss, but again, may I remind you, this is not a weight loss podcast. Never was, never will be. This is a health and happiness podcast. One of the side effects of health is a healthy weight. It's a side effect, okay? A slow metabolism is advantageous for us when you're talking about health. Your body burns slower. It's not burning as fast. Now, you're going to go, but Sid, everybody tells you you should eat six times a day, the big breakfast to get your metabolism rolling, blah, 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 blah. That is a weight loss conversation. I ain't having it. I'm not even in that weight loss conversation. I'm just my fingers in my ears. I'm just like, la, 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 la. I cannot hear you. I can't hear you. Okay? That's me at the in the weight loss conversation. What I learned by my metabolism slowing down is that I'm able to maintain my weight the more I just transitioned myself to heavier box foods. I transitioned myself to heavier box foods so that now the reason why I think that I am running better is because I'm not expending a ton of energy digesting. I'm actually spending a lot less energy digesting than ever before. And part of that is because of my fruit intake. And by the way, if you guys haven't watched, and thank you to everybody who has my YouTube channel. I have my first video up there, which is my morning smoothie to show you kind of what I do in the morning. I thought it was fun and a bunch of people watched it. So cool. Thanks. Throw me a like on that, you know? Anyway, I have, I believe, extra energy left over because I am giving my body foods, heavy box, that it understands and that takes a lot less wear and tear to process. And that's essentially what heavy box foods do. They come with what I call the motor oil that you put in the car that keeps the engine lubricated and running well so that the car can burn the gas, which in our bodies is calories, but the car can burn the gas with minimal wear and tear. In the modern world, we are able to consume something like a Big Mac, which is mostly gas and has very little motor oil in it. So our bodies, like cars, are designed to burn energy, burn fuel for energy. That's what we're designed to do. That's what a car is designed to do. But if you don't put motor oil in a car, the engine will burn up, and then the same thing happens with our bodies. When you eat food that has the motor oil with it, that helps the body, the vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and antioxidants, that helps the body burn that gas with minimal wear and tear, that's what I'm talking about. That's minimal stress on the body. That's minimal stress response from the body, okay? So, but my point with the whole slow metabolism thing was, first of all, to tell you that it's actually advantageous to slow your metabolism down, okay? And secondly, though, that sometimes it means that behaviors that were dialed in, like for me, I had two behaviors dialed in. By the time my metabolism slowed down, I'm never going to talk about metabolism ever again because I can't pronounce the damn word. The two behaviors were dialed in. One was eating, really not worrying about eating at all. Okay, even when I gave up dairy, I was still eating mostly light box food. I didn't even know what brown rice was. Okay, I was like all about white rice, and I was eating white pasta, the whole thing. Okay. The second behavior that was dialed in for me was my exercise. Because my dad was a runner, my mom was active, like I kind of grew up in this active house. I wasn't like a competitive runner, but it was sort of like activity. I was an active kid. Now, I'm going to sound old, but back then, you know, I had video games, okay? Atari 2600, still the best video game. Tank is the best video game. It's the best video game. But I did spend a lot of time outside, a ton of time outside when I was a kid, okay? The fact that we don't have our kids outside, most of us, is sad. It's just sad. And if you look at chapter 3 of my book, you'll see a whole thing on the physical connection to the earth, but also the psychological benefit of reconnecting to nature physically, putting your body back into nature, what that does for us. Wink, wink, appeals to our natural design, for crying out loud. Okay. I had two behaviors dialed in. One was that I was eating whatever I wanted, not paying attention to that at all. Two was that I was active. It was just sort of a value in my life. I didn't really think about it. I was just always sort of exercise. I ran, I played a little basketball, played tennis, whatever came up, I sort of do it. It was never really stagnant. I kind of always just did that. Okay. What happens when your metabolism slows down is that you can have exercise dialed in like awesome, and you're going to gain weight. As soon as you gain, you know, as soon as your metabolism slows down, and you're getting a little aging, you're getting a little older. I've said this before, nutrition accounts for about 90, in my opinion, about 90% of weight management is nutrition. Because I've seen it a million times, and I keep seeing it. People substantially overweight who exercise way more than even I do. And I don't even exercise that much, but I mean people who exercise a substantial amount who are significantly overweight, it's because it is more about the tools you give your body to do the work that you're asking it to do. Exercise, I want everybody to understand, exercise is stress on the body. Exercise is work you're asking your body to do. Now, are there benefits to that work? Absolutely. Exercise that is in still not, it doesn't like tip over the hill of stress on your body. Light exercise, whatever that is for you, could be 20 miles if you're used, you know, if you're that in that good a shape, but something that you're not stressing yourself out all the time has great benefits to your body. Okay? Lymphatic system. I mean, sure, blood pressure, all these kinds of things. The movement of your body is natural for your body. Okay? Now, if you exercise in a very stressful way, that can debilitate you, and that can actually keep your body hanging on to extra weight if it's not supported. And by supported, I mean if you're going to exercise, you need to make sure your body has the tools it needs to do the work that you're asking it to do with minimal stress on it. Okay? That's why for me it's 90% about nutrition, because you've got to support your body no matter what stress you're doing, no matter what action you're doing. Okay? That includes going to work and being in stressful situations. Support your body. Bad things happen in our lives. Support your body to handle those things. It's not adapted to the modern world. It's like I've talked about before. It's like a little kid going down the slide for the first time. It doesn't know that it's only a report due. It thinks that it's under attack because of the way that you're reacting to that report, and the body is just doing exactly what it's designed to do, and sometimes it's sending you messages that it needs help. Okay? But you may need to dial in new behavior. If for me, exercise was like the thing, but eating healthy or paying attention to that wasn't. And so it took me time. And I wasn't a nutritionist back then. I was an indie rocker. Okay. But over time, the more I read about nutrition after curing myself of asthma, the more I learned things, the more I incorporated things. Okay. And then over time, I've now dialed in healthy eating as a behavior. That's why I don't ever think about food for myself. I've now dialed it in. You got to dial it in. If you want to be healthier and happy, you may have to dial in new behaviors. That's the small step philosophy. A diet does not help you dial in new behavior. It just stalls you to before you got to get back to your life and doing exactly the same things you're going to do. Okay? All right. I want to talk about calorie on this note, actually. Calories in, calories out. If you've heard that before, I have a million times. And I want to speak to that a little bit because it just came up with somebody and because it's out there and it totally on the surface makes sense, right? Because like our bodies burn calories. So if you take in calorie X and you expend calorie X, you're a wash. If you want to lose weight, you would consume X minus 2 and still expend X, and you're 2 below and you're good. You're going to start losing weight. It's not that simple. And actually, like the China study cited, you know, some populations in rural China that actually consume more calories than we do, but that they're thinner, and that's because it's more about the quality of the calorie than it is the quantity. And I'm not joking about that. And that's why in 12 years I have not counted a single calorie for myself, nor recommended anybody to count calories. If your diet is 2,000 calories a day, which seems to be the average, and you eat 2,000 calories of French fries, and then the person next to you eats 2,000 calories of lettuce, Who do you think is going to be more healthy and at a healthier weight? Who do you think? I'll give you a guess. It ain't the person eating the French fries. The lettuce, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, water, fiber. Stuff that goes in your body goes, great. Now, I'm serious. 2,000 calories. If it were just about calories, it shouldn't make a difference. Okay? Now, can calories in, calories out yield you a healthy weight? Or at least, a healthy weight, I'll just say. Yes. And this is why, again, this comes back to this being a philosophy of health podcast. Because you have to ask yourself this very simple question. Two questions. Wow, that just got more complicated. One, do you want to be somebody who counts calories? Do you want to spend your life counting calories? Because you're going to have to. Okay, you can't eat the same thing every day. So it's not like you can measure out calories and then just say, okay, I'm just going to eat this every day. So that means you're going to have to calculate calories for the rest of your life. How does that work for you? Two, question. Are we designed to count calories? Is there a wild animal anywhere that counts calories, that looks at a glycemic index chart, that counts eight glasses of 8 ounces of water per day? I mean, this is what we've become in the modern world. We are trying to negotiate a modern world by being something unnatural. It never works when we try to be something that we're not. Diets, we're not diets. Calorie counters, we're not. Now, if somebody can maintain weight by counting calories, what I'm talking about here is health and happiness. Health and happiness. If you are just talking about weight loss and that's all you want, I'm telling you right now, this is the opposite of the podcast that you need to listen to. And lucky you, because there's 4 billion other podcasts that are talking about weight loss out there, and they all work. I'm sure of it. Atkins diet, you can lose weight. Paleo diet, you can lose weight. There's 1,000 diets where you can lose weight. And a lot of them have measuring, and a lot of them are high protein, just the things that you want to hear. But you ain't going to hear them from me. Because what I'm talking about is how to live better in this world starting today. And that ain't about calorie counting. Portion control. Denying yourself. Ain't happening. We're not designed to portion control. We're not designed to calorie count. We're designed to eat until we're full. I advocate you changing the things that you eat till you're full. That's it. Eat till you're full, but change the thing that you eat till you're full. That's how you get healthier. Move the things that you're eating till you're full into the more of the heavy box realm over time, and you're going to hit the weight just like I do. How do I have a healthy, a flat stomach at 45? How is that possible? Well, Sid, you exercise a lot. Well, now I'm running a quarter of the amount that I was running 2 months ago, and my stomach is still flat. It's also as flat as it was 5 years ago when I was jumping on a trampoline lightly for 15 minutes a day because we had just had twins and we were freaking exhausted. All I did was adjust. I didn't adjust anything. I just ate heavy box foods. I just happened to be less hungry when I wasn't exercising as much. I'm eating less right now than I was when I was training and running 55 miles a week. I'm not as hungry. Interesting how brilliant your body is when you actually listen to it, when you actually look at the messages it's sending you by Morse code. So I'll beep, 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 beep. See this stomach you got hanging over your belt? Beep, 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 beep. That's me telling you that what you're doing ain't working. Excuse me. Getting all verklempt. I really wasn't getting emotional there. You'll know it. Gynostemity. Save my voice. My voice is leaving. Excuse me. Here we go. Now, I could hit pause, but I'm not going to. I'm stubborn that way. You're not the boss of me. Whoa. What happened? What happened? I went right to the theme of the podcast. I'm not going to get there yet. One more point that I want to make before I get to that. And that is to look at the small stepping philosophy in yet another way. And that isn't, and I was thinking about the other day, it's like small stepping is a way that you can, this is going to sound crass, I'm sorry. How to find out in a way what doesn't actually suck. Okay? So, what is an impediment, I believe, to sustained health and happiness is that for most of us, the actions that we think anyway it would take to be healthy and happy suck. They just look like they suck, right? If you're eating chicken fried steak, lucky friggin' you, because it's great, mashed potatoes on the side, little gravy, little green beans, a little bit of green beans, not much, because you don't want to make a heavy box, okay? And they got to be cooked to the point where they're just like, they almost just, they're melt. You've melted green beans. You have melted green beans on your plate. If you eat that, and then you look at the guy next to you who's eating big old salads, a bunch of fruits and vegetables, a little bit of raw nuts and seeds, and just, the, you know, that sucks. You look at that and go, that must suck. Now, the fact that that guy's doing great and running 100-mile races and living great, flat stomach, okay, that's all aside. We don't necessarily want to look at that part of the things. We want to look at the French and go, they're thinner and it must be because of the red wine. We want to look at the Greeks and say it's got to be because of the olive oil. It's got to be because of the olive oil. It has to be. It can't be because of the fresh produce or anything. No, it's got to be the olive oil. It has to be. And so, if you are stagnant and you don't exercise at all, virtually no exercise, and you look at somebody running a marathon or running, getting up and running out the door while you're watching TV and you see that your neighbor go out the door running, you go, that sucks. That would suck. The idea of running to you sucks. Here's where the small step thing comes in yet another brilliant way. If the value for you is that you want to be healthier and happier, and that's always where I'm going to start, right? Because don't do anything if you don't value that stuff. There's no judgment. If you're happy and healthy, if you're as happy and healthy as you want to be right now, I don't care where you're at on the spectrum. If you're as happy and healthy as you want to be right now, you're done. Hang, you got the gold medal, okay? But if you're not, and you think that those things suck, it's yet another reason not to take them on yet. And that's why another reason why the first small step for me with you and my private clients is to begin the thinking of who you truly are. That's the first small step before you even have to get off your couch. But let's say after thinking about it that you value that, you know, being thinner and healthier and more vibrant and having more energy, then I'm going to tell you, can you get off your couch and walk down the hall? Because if you got off your couch and ran 5 miles, that would suck. You would feel horrible. You're not familiar with it. It's totally not you yet, or it's truly you, but you're not there yet. You haven't removed that conflict yet. So you walk down the hallway, you go, that didn't suck. What steps can you add into your life where you go, that didn't suck? A couple slices of cucumber with my chicken fried steak, that did not suck. That's fine. Scoff. Whoop-de-doo. That was nothing. I can totally do that every day. Big deal. That's where you begin. That's where you begin. In a way, you begin at the point where everybody you know would tell you that what you're doing makes no difference. That's the step I want you to start with. I'm not even joking. Hey, what do you, ask your friend, what do you think about me? I've been eating a Big Mac and French fries every day. I'm going to have one slice of cucumber. What do I think? I think it's stupid. I think it's idiotic. That's exactly what your friend sounds like. Did you know that? I love how your friend says idiotic all the time. Okay? It's what step you can do that is so minimal that it doesn't suck. There you go. And I don't care. I'm talking about extremes in the two examples I gave you. But let's say your MOT, go back to my MOT episode most of the time. Let's say your most of the time is pretty darn good. But let's say you want to move. Let's say you want, I mean, my MOT is pretty good. I'm pretty happy, but I wanted to add journaling. The idea of journaling an hour and a half every day sucks for me. I got to tell you, I don't have the time. I'm really, really busy for a whole host of reasons. But journaling one sentence a day doesn't suck. Doesn't suck. Now, am I going to get to an hour and a half a day? I don't know. I don't care. It's open. When you begin that process, whatever, however it ends up is open. If you plan on running a marathon and you never get to a marathon, whoop-de-doo. If you're in the right place, in the right state of mind, and you're following what I'm telling you, and I don't mean telling you, I never tell anybody run this much or eat this stuff, but if you're following me in this sense, if you're learning from this podcast how to think about your health and happiness, then everything is on the table and nothing's off the table. And that means that if you start out saying, I want to run a marathon, and 6 months down the line, you go, yeah, I don't really want a marathon. I don't really want to run a marathon. It's going to be for the right reasons. And you own it. It's your decision. You're in charge. And so everything's on the table. I may journal an hour and a half. I may not. I may quit journaling in a month and start doing something else. Life becomes a realm of possibility when you're not beholden to advertising, marketing, and that includes diets and quick fix plans. It's just how healthy and happy you want to be. That's it. And taking steps to that end and getting the value of those steps right when you take them right away, and no matter what's happening in your life. Something horrible happens in your life, you may need to dial back your steps. Yeah, dial back. That's life to him. Then it opens up a little bit and you got some other things. I'm going to add in some things. You're always in charge. You're always driving the car. You're always steering the ship, as they say. Okay? All right. I'm going to finish up this episode by talking about the title. You're not the boss of me. By the way, you're not the boss of me. Seriously. But what I mean that is this statement. Now, that's what a kid says, right? But I learned early on as a nutritionist to not take things away from people. Okay, what I want to do is educate everybody that I can who's interested in listening in how to eat better, how to live better. But for me as a nutritionist early on, when I would take things away, and by early on, I mean for the first couple months, because I quickly was like, okay, this totally is not happening well. And I go, yeah, you're not going to eat any more cheese. I got the you're not the boss of me. I mean, that's what I got. You're not the, we dig our heels in. We're still 10. Deep down, we're still 10. If somebody tells us something we can't do, we go, you're not the boss of me. Now, we don't say it necessarily, but we freaking mean it. So what I decided was, and for you guys to play with this idea, is instead of changing that about ourselves, instead of not being the you're not the boss of me person, how about you get more into that? You're not the boss of me. And understand and be more of a boss yourself. If you think I'm not the boss of you, which is true, be more of a boss for yourself. Now, you're going to go gimmicky. This is no gimmick. I want to listen to that. I want you to think about this. Imagine the best boss you can. And by the way, that person doesn't work in any company at all in the entire world. But imagine the best boss, okay? The best boss manages with respect and direct communication, okay? Helps implement action. Takes a bird's eye view in a way of like a big picture view. Has maybe a vision and is helping drive that vision forward by inspiration, by inspiring his or her staff to act for the good of the organization. Okay? The bad boss, beating the staff down into submission, right? Not communicating clearly, not clear, miscommunication, conflicting information, disrespect. Okay? If I'm not the boss of you and you're walking around going, you're not the boss of me, you're not the boss of me, fine. Be more of a boss for yourself. Learn how to manage yourself, direct yourself, inspire yourself, inspire action in yourself. Take a bird's eye view of your life, create a vision for how you want your life to be, and inspire yourself to act toward that vision. The best boss inspires his or her staff. When you take small steps out of the chute, you show yourself that you are capable of action. That's how you know. If you say, I got to go from zero to a marathon, you sit your ass on the couch because it seems too much. You won't be self-inspired. Don't worry about other people inspiring you. Don't worry about me inspiring you. Don't even look for that. What can you do to inspire yourself? One is to be your own boss. In the most fundamental way you can. You be your own boss. Don't be angry at people for supposedly taking things away from you or feeling pressure. Because like I've said, I can say all these things and you still might feel pressure from me. I mean, I just said, if you are as happy and healthy as you want to be, don't move.
But people go, oh, yeah.
I'm not kidding. I am not joking. I will never tell you or suggest anything to anybody who doesn't come to me. I'm not hitting the play button on this podcast. You are. And I'm still not gonna. And if you're just here to listen for fun, I think that's fantastic. All I'm suggesting is what I believe to be true, which is to live happier and healthier in this modern world means you have to pay attention and you have to make an effort. You have to have a vision of how you want your life to be and who you truly are. You have to take action to that end. And if you take on too much, you will not sustain it. How much you take on is up to you. What that vision is for yourself is up to you. I don't tell you that a flat stomach is your vision or that playing tennis is your activity or that eating XYZ is your thing. What I tell you is know what you're designed to do. Know what foods work best in your body. Know that movement is something that we're designed to do. Know that socializing with a tribe, connecting with other human beings is part of our natural design. Know that being outside is part of our natural design. No matter how much, you can live in the middle of a city with no park in sight and you can still get to dirt somehow. A tree, somehow. And you appreciate that moment that you can take. You are the boss of yourself. That's a fact. How good of a boss you are is up to you. But when people, early on clients, they get resentful and sort of like, you know, rebellious. They got that like 10-year-old, all of a sudden the 10-year-old kid, 13-year-old kid looks at me. You can't take cheese away from you. And I was like, you came to me. You asked me what I thought about your health. And I'm making a recommendation. Why are you being mean to me? I don't play that game anymore. I go, here's what you do. You add more heavy box foods in over time. You add more movement in over time in ways that you enjoy. And in the heavy box food realm and everything else, as you add more of those things in, the things that don't serve you well start to fall away. Nobody's taking them away because you don't even want them anymore. Your MOTT improves so much that all of a sudden the things that don't serve you well start to really, you notice them more because you're paying more attention and because your level of health is so high that now the cigarette that you used to have all the time really makes you feel like crap. It didn't make you feel like crap before because you always felt like crap. Now your level of health is up so high that each cigarette you're aware of and you're like, this is not me anymore. Create a vision for your life. Everything is on the table. Everything is on the table. When you are the boss of you, when you take more of that and stop saying you're not the boss of me and start saying I'm the boss of myself. And that, by the way, goes for the workplace. What you bring to your job, what ethic you bring to your job. Because I think hard work is fulfilling. I think taking care of yourself is an ethical decision. I think working hard is an ethical decision. That's why they call it a work ethic. What's your health ethic? What is the ethic you take and bring to your own body and to your own mind? What is the ethic? Why are those things sacrificed often? Something bad happens or working, we get fired or we have stress and for finals week and we just abuse. We want to eat the junk food, eat the thing, we need this break, we want this distraction. Be your boss. Don't let those external things have power over you. Make it a true choice. Don't let that person at work have power over you. Be your own boss. Okay? You're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of me. You're the boss of you. Let's all work together and try to achieve something great in this world together. But don't worry about anybody else but yourself right now or ever. But do what you can for yourself. And that is small steps that you can begin today in this moment while you're listening to this podcast. You can do a small step. Get a glass of water while you're listening to it. Do a couple squats while you're listening to it. Get a stalk of celery while you're listening to it. Doodle on a piece of paper while you're listening to this. When you get, text your friend that you haven't talked to in a long time and tell him that you're thinking about him or her. Howdy. Just putting a word out to you. Reestablish that tribe. If you're outside listening to this, great. There's your step. Notice the things that you actually can do. It seems overwhelming when we think of all the things we should do. It ain't about that. Think about what you can do. And there's a long list of things you can do. And if they go, oh, but I'm so tired and so busy, then do less than you thought. Dial it back down. Start at a place where you can actually start. All right? All right, you guys. I'm shutting her down for the week. I thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, for joining me. Throw me an email. I've been getting some cool emails, and always happy to answer them, even though I may not get back to you that day, but I promise I will write everybody back. That's my promise, okay? And you can email me at podcast@sidgarzahillman.com, okay? In the meantime, you guys, thank you for joining me. Come back next week, and in the meantime, be well.
We go to the past now, in this dimly lit room, finding blindness shelters tonight. I would ask for forgiveness, I would ask for a break in this, I would ask if I thought it was right. And the whole